This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Coming in hot with that one, Jed Marshall. I had to duck when that started.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, I should have known that Rage Against the Machine was going to be really loud. I didn't realize that the track was loaded in so loudly, which in the radio terms is hot. So, yeah, my bad.
Coming in hot. I felt I was under attack.
The song's called Gorilla Radio, man.
There you go. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're live at Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe, Missouri, on the campus of Missouri Western. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is over at the media tent right now, where Andy Reid, Reggie Ragland, and Mitch Morse are expected to address the media. We'll try to bring you that, but it's always kind of close since they break so late. So we'll see if we can. We may not get to it. Coming up later in the hour, Jed Lines with Jed Marshall, who's back in the Rally House studios. And that's where Jed picks out stories from sports or entertainment or just anywhere around the world that might be odd, different, interesting, however it is. And, Jed, I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm just going to check. Do any of your Jed Lines involve Mount Everest?
They do not. I actually just saw your tweet about that, but no, none of them involve Mount Everest today.
Okay. I may bring that up. I'll just give you a heads up.
Sounds fine to me.
I don't want to jump on your Jed Lines. Maybe I'll bring it up before Jed Lines. That way I don't spoil Jed Lines.
No, you're fine, man. You can bring it up whenever.
Okay. Update from the PGA Championship, and 810 WHB will have PGA Championship coverage today from 1 until 7 p.m. And if you're wondering, is golf on the radio? Is that a thing? Is that possible? It sounds fantastic, folks. I'm telling you, I gave it a chance. It was like when NASCAR first started on radio. Like, can you really do NASCAR on radio? Yeah, you can, and it sounds good. PGA on radio, golf on radio, you can do it, and you can do it well, and it's going to be good stuff. So an update, there are still players finishing up the second round from yesterday. They had a lightning delay. But as of right now, still at the top of the leaderboard, Kansas Jayhawk product Gary Woodland. He's at 10 under, one shot ahead of Kevin Kisner, two shots ahead of Brooks Koepka, the winner of back-to-back U.S. Opens, and Ricky Fowler is in the hunt at 8 under as well, just two shots back. Tiger Woods is still 4 under at 6 shots back. So we'll keep you updated. Again, live coverage today from 1 to 7 p.m. here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And then tonight, Sporting KC at LAFC, kickoff at 9:30 p.m. Central Time with the final whistle with Dave Borchardt to follow. So Dave Borchardt's going to be working well past midnight. Not working past midnight, at least we hope, is our friend Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Riley, how are you on this Saturday afternoon?
I'm good, Brad. You know, I'm not working past midnight right now, but I will be in about 3 weeks. So
that's right. When football hits, so the non-conference games during the college football season tend to start at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock p.m. So on a game like that, how late into the night are you working to put stuff out on GoPowerCat.com?
I would probably say by the time I finish all my stuff, it's probably around 1:30, give or take, just kind of depends on how much we're doing and things like that. And then by the time everything's up, it's probably around 3, I would guess, because our video guy, Zach Carlson, really puts in a lot of late hours getting together his post-game video. But, hey, it's fun. And thankfully, we get an 11 a.m. Non-conference game this year against Mississippi State, so that'll be a day that we don't have to be up that late.
Exactly. I just, like the preseason in the NFL, which I've long come to despise, even though there are, you can take some things out of it, but just having to sit down for 3.5 hours and watch it is a chore. College football games, the non-conference games that start at 6 and 7 o'clock, it drives me crazy. Absolutely drives me crazy.
Well, especially when it's like the third quarter and the teams are deciding to pass the ball just to try some different things.
Right.
I'm like, can we just keep the ball on the ground and keep the clock running and get out of here? It's a 40-point
right.
game right now. Let's go, guys.
Right. Well, that Chiefs game the other night, I promise you I'm getting to K-State, but that Chiefs game Thursday night, it was, middle of the fourth quarter, and Bill O'Brien, the head coach of the Texans, who I think sometimes looks like a clown show, is throwing out his challenge flag for the fourth string. I mean, come on. Really?
Hey,
we're reviewing in the fourth quarter?
Man.
I guess. Riley Gates, you're a better sport than I am, Riley Gates. I did see you tweet out a picture that I thought was funny maybe yesterday or this morning. The most expensive piece of paper I ever owned, and it's your diploma from K-State. It wasn't cheap, was it?
No, sir. It was mine. It was about time I got it. I was starting to wondering if I was actually going to get that because I graduated in May. Just got it yesterday, but it's pretty cool now. I think it's official. So
you got to start wondering if maybe there's an unpaid parking ticket because universities will hold up your diploma for about 1,000 different things, and believe it or not, parking tickets is one of them.
Oh, believe me, I checked, and now I get to go spend like another $90 or something like that on a frame for this thing. So it's great.
There
it's
you go.
Great.
There you go. Well, speaking of expensive pieces of paper, Kansas State has signed head coach Bill Snyder to a contract extension. I believe it's a 5-year extension. It's about $3.4 million per year, which is, you know, God bless him at age 77. His heart's still in the game. To me, all the press conferences I've heard over the last couple of weeks, he sounds sharp. He sounds engaged. That dry sense of humor and wit are back. I think we missed a little bit of that last year. So good for Bill Snyder. Is this at all a surprise, Riley, or is this like, okay, yeah, we knew Coach was just going to keep going and going and going and going?
You know, I guess I really wouldn't say it's a surprise in terms of like because he's still going to retire when he wants to retire. You know, he's not going to – just because he signed a 5-year deal doesn't guarantee that he's going to be here, you know, for all 5 of those years. That's just
right. Not
necessarily the case. But like I was telling Cody Taft the other day when I was on his show, I said, you know, if you'd have told me before Big 12 media days in early July that Bill Snyder was going to sign a 5-year extension, I would have said, well, okay, but there's just no way that he's going to go all 5 years on that. But
right. Today,
you know, if you tell me he's signed a 5-year extension, I really wouldn't be shocked for a lot of the reasons you just said, Brad. You know, I think that he has a lot more energy right now. I think he's you made the comment that he's kind of witty or joking around a lot. And yeah, he is doing that, which is something we didn't see him do a whole lot last year. I mean, even at those weekly press conferences, it was, you know, you'd walk up to the table, put your recorder down or whatever, you know, coach, how are you? And, you know, quick, short answer, I'm fine, you know. But now he's a lot more interactive. He's really, you know, just himself again, I guess, to say the least. He seems like normal Coach Snyder, and that's got to be refreshing if you're a K-State fan.
Absolutely. We're talking with Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com, covers all of Kansas State athletics. One of the things that Dennis Dodd mentioned earlier in the show, and we'll see if you agree or not, was that the university kind of had to do this because Snyder's contract was coming due, I believe, at the end of this year. They kind of had to do this simply for recruiting. So other coaches can't say, well, you know, Coach Snyder's going to retire next year. Even if he doesn't make it the full 5 years, this gives the team a little more security when they head out on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, it's nice for the public figure, you know, for recruits to see they sign a 5-year deal. But and I should credit Kellis Robinette of the Wichita Eagle, Kansas City Star, for this one because I didn't really I guess I wasn't all that familiar with his initial contract. K-State didn't technically need to do this. You know, his old deal was a rollover, and it would have kept him, you know, under contract as long as he wanted to be. So, you know, that was in the old contract. He could coach as long as he wanted to. But it is a good thing to do for K-State because now you can go out on a recruiting trail. You know, an 18-year-old or 17-year-old kid didn't know the specifics of Bill Snyder's contract. He didn't know that it was a rollover. He knew Coach Snyder's getting old, and I don't know how long he's going to be there. Well, now he's signing a 5-year extension, and, you know, as a coach, you can go out and, you know, the kid can say, well, what happens if you change your mind? And that's, you know, that could happen. You know, maybe you do change your mind, and that's something you don't know as of today, but, you know, it's expected as of now that he's going to be here for 5 years. And, you know, that's kind of the pitch he gets to give kids now. So it's really good for him and his staff. That way they can, you know, really sell the future of the program for years to come.
Absolutely. And one of the parts that's in that contract, it was in his previous contract as well, but it calls for Bill Snyder to have some input on the next head coach at K-State. How much input he will have, I don't know. How much consideration he will receive. Sure, he'll receive plenty. He's not going to, I don't believe he's going to be able to handpick his successor. But I'll just ask you, Riley, being around the athletic department, the AD has not been on the job all that long. what's kind of the gut feeling on, you know, whether or not Snyder gets to make that hand pick? Do they defer to Coach Snyder, or is it simply, here's the guy I like, maybe his son, here's maybe a couple of guys I like, and then you guys pick? What is kind of the storyline around there about how much Bill Snyder will be able to influence the next choice?
Well, the contract reads appropriate input, and, you know, that's something that's so vague, you don't really know what does that mean. You know, what is appropriate input? I mean, I think that he's going to have a strong say in those that hiring whenever it comes time. And what I think that means, you know, and this isn't maybe necessarily as specific as you would like to get, but, you know, he's definitely going to be part of the conversations. He's definitely going to be able to give a suggestion of who he wants the next guy to be. And I believe that whenever Gene Taylor makes a decision, you know, he says, this is my guy, I think he'll have to, or he'll at least will run it by Bill Snyder. You know, coach, what do you think of this guy? Because I don't know if that, you know, I guess maybe I shouldn't necessarily comment this because I'm not for sure. I really wasn't around at the time, knowing the ins and outs. But I don't know how much of a stamp of approval that Ron Prince got from Bill Snyder the first time around. So I think he will bounce an idea off of Coach Snyder when he decides on a guy. So he'll have a good say in it, but also I think a lot of people are just, they're assuming that, you know, automatically he will be, it will be his choice and therefore it will be Sean Snyder as the next coach. And I just don't see that happening. I think that Gene Taylor is going to go for a guy that has head coaching experience. I think he really values that. And, I think when it comes down to it, Bill Snyder will realize how valuable that is too. So we'll see what appropriate input means when the time comes, but, it'll definitely be interesting.
Well, you had to bring up Ron Prince, didn't you?
Well, it's not an interview about K-State football if we don't.
I know. Well, I was thinking about this the other day when Bill Snyder retired from football. You know, it was, you know, great career. He's moved on. And he's such a football – and believe me, I say this with all kindness. He's such a football nerd, meaning he's just – the football is who he is. He loves coaching football. And after watching 2 and 3 years of Ron Prince, Bill Snyder said, oh, no. I'm not letting my program go down like this. And then he came back and we wondered, okay, you know, he'll right the ship for a couple of years. And here we are, what, 10, 12 years later?
it's amazing. Go ahead. I was just going to say, you know, I didn't necessarily think he would be around this long. You know, I really thought on Snyder 2.0, he would, like you said, you know, right the ship, calm the waters, as he likes to say. And then you step aside. And, you know, to me, 2012 seemed like the waters were about as calm as they were going to get. You know, you had just won a conference championship. You had two very capable quarterbacks. You had a good defense. I mean, it seemed like the waters were as calm as they were ever going to be. But they've stayed calm for the last 5 years or so. And,
right.
You know, there's, you know, his bottled response, I guess, so to say, is that, you know, you say, Coach, how much longer are you going to do this? And he says, I'll be here as long as I'm, you know, having a positive impact on young people in the program, you know, this and that, whatever his answer is always. And, you know, you hear that and you're like, oh, that's really not that much of an answer. But I really think that's, you know, what he does. I really think that's how he evaluates it. And right now, if you're winning 8-9 games a year, going to bowl games and, you know, signing pretty solid recruiting classes and you have a good core of coaches, I don't really see any reason to step aside right now. So, you know, he's definitely not hurting the program by any means. So who knows how much longer it's going to go. It's definitely gone way past what I thought it would be.
Absolutely. I think we would all agree on that. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back in our Rally House studios. We're speaking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. So, Riley, as you look at the exhibition season, the non-conference season coming up, is there anything in the game against South Dakota that we should be concerned about, or is this simply getting on the field, playing a good game, getting a win, and making sure we don't get anybody hurt? Is there anything more to that in this game?
You know, maybe not that game specifically, but I think you want to, you know, you don't want to see this, you know, I want to say it was the first game last year where K-State came out and, you know, they won the game, but I think they had like 13 penalties or something like
right.
that. I forget what game that was. You don't want to see that because the very next week you're hosting Mississippi State, and it's like,
right.
you know, that's
a big one.
You hate to say that game two is such a pivotal game for the season, but it really is. I mean, you know, if you lose that game, you really kind of have a bit of an uphill climb from there. So you really want to see this team come out sharp and ready to go in game one, even though it is just South Dakota, because I think it means more, you know, past just the South Dakota game. You know, what do you want to see? You want to see that the defense has, you know, really filled those holes that have created. You know, there's four or five holes that, you know, graduation or leaving early, anything like that, that need to be filled. And, you know, who are those guys stepping in, and how are they adjusting? Because they're going to get thrown straight into the fire when Mississippi State does come into town. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you know, I think you feel pretty confident about what this about what the offense is, but I think you want to make sure, you know, do they have the right pieces on the field? Are they clicking at the right time? And I know that one game is not enough, big enough sample size, but, you know, really just to see this team going and be ready to go on game one would be really refreshing as a K-State fan.
We're talking with Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com, who covers everything Kansas State. So the non-conference games, you get South Dakota, Mississippi State, which I think could be a really fun game to watch, and then UTSA, and then the conference season opens September 22nd on the road at West Virginia. Riley, first of all, have you traveled to Morgantown?
I have not. I never have, but I will this year. It's you got to fly into Pittsburgh, I guess, and then
yes,
drive down to Morgantown.
I have not been able to do that, but in my previous job, we covered the Kansas Jayhawks, and our people had to go to Morgantown, and you go to Pittsburgh, and they were there in the middle of winter for a basketball game, and there was a snowstorm, and it took like 5 hours. It is one of the most inaccessible big college towns in America.
You would like to think that they would have a better access point than flying into Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then driving down. But
that's
hey,
it.
I get to check another state off my list. So there you go.
There you go. I do the same thing. Final thing for you. In that game, on the road in Morgantown, K-State's defense, you mentioned them, they're going to be tested against one of the top three or four or five quarterbacks in the country. He's listed on all the, you know, the preseason watch list for quarterbacks. They're going to see a really good one, and they're going to get a good test right out of the chute to open conference play.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's, you know, not only is, aside from the fact that West Virginia's picked second in this conference this year, I think that Morgantown is one of the tougher places to play every single year. It doesn't matter what kind of a team that they have up there. So this is, you know, it's really kind of too bad for K-State that in their first four games, they have two games that can, I mean, honestly, make or break the season. I mean, if you're 2-2 through those first four games, your chances of, you know, making a lot of noise in the Big 12 are not good, because are you going to win eight games after that? I mean, that's pretty tough to win out after that.
Right.
And then, you know, nothing wrong with the Cactus Bowl last year, but you're kind of looking at a season like that, you know, seven wins or so. It's fine, but it's nothing really special. And I think this is a season that could be really special. So, you know, going into West Virginia is going to be tough. And then, like you mentioned, Will Grier, I mean, I think he could honestly contend for the Heisman Trophy this year. I think he's really that talented, and I think he had a year to kind of settle into West Virginia's system and really kind of get the feel of what it's all about. So that's going to be a tough one. I tell you what, that secondary is going to be, you know, really tested. And, you know, welcome Brian Norwood to the Big 12. Here's Will Grier.
Right.
You know, have your secondary ready to go. So it's not exactly the best setup you would like as a K-State fan. You know, maybe you'd rather get like a Baylor or, you know, a Texas Tech in game one to kind of, you know, a game that you should win, a game that you can maybe afford to have some mistakes. But, you know, on the other hand, I mentioned how bad it might be if they lose two of those games. But I tell you what, if they go 4-0 or 3-1 in those first four games, you know, you're setting yourself up pretty well for a pretty solid season. So it's a massive game, and it's nice to kind of battle test early, just to see what you're made of, I guess.
Absolutely. Hey, Riley Gates, I thank you so much for your time today, as always, and congratulations on finally getting your diploma 3 months after you graduated.
Well, thank you very much. It's pretty cool, not going to lie.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your weekend. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one, Brad.
All right. That is Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com. Check that site out. Lots of good stuff. Him and Tim Fitzgerald and the team over there, they got K-State covered like a blanket. And if you're big into K-State football or just into, you know, Big 12 or college football in general, it is a fantastic site. You should check it out. All right, we're getting ready to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will do Jedlines. Jed Marshall has picked out stories from, it could be sports, could be news, could be entertainment, could be wacky, weird, wild stuff. And then I don't know what the stories are. And then we'll react to them, have a little discussion. So quick timeout here on Sports Sunday. We're live at Chiefs training camp. up in St. Joe, Missouri. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter up in St. Joe. Charlie Carlin is up here as well. Jed Marshall is in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are broadcasting live from Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is up here as well. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios. Update from the PGA Championship, which you can listen to on Sports Radio 810 WHB today, starting at 1 o'clock, going all the way to 7 o'clock. Gary Woodland, the Kansas Jayhawk, is still at the top of the leaderboard at 10 under. They had several players who had to get out early this morning at 7 o'clock and finish up their second rounds from yesterday. They had weather delays yesterday, so some players just finishing their second rounds. Gary Woodland still at 10 under. He's yet to go off today. Kevin Kistner, one back at 9 under. Ricky Fowler, two shots back at 8 under, along with Brooks Koepka. And Tiger Woods all the way down at tied for 19th at 4 under. Tiger was one of those players who had to finish his second round. He is now finished, and then he will start his third round later today. So PGA Championship from 1 to 7 o'clock here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Also, a quick shout-out, some good friends of mine who are headed back to Kansas City. If you're headed back today after training camp, drive safely, please. But had some good friends drop by, Mike Garrett, John Fox, and Dr. Franey, and good to see them out here. And we all have incoming freshmen at Rockhurst High School, so good to see the guys out here enjoying Chiefs training camp. And everybody just waiting on the edge of their seat to see Patrick Mahomes unloaded. He did a couple of times today, and, man, it's impressive. Just a final couple of notes here. Sharkhindrick West was back at practice today after being out the last 2 weeks in the concussion protocol. LeSean McQuay did not practice. Keith Reeser did not practice. Jamie Murray did not practice. And, of course, Daniel Sorensen is out for the next 7 to 8 weeks. During practice, Dee Ford went over to the trainer's tent, removed his shoulder pads, and then eventually they took him up inside the main area. Charlie Carlin, you got an update on that?
I do have an update on that. Andy Reid said that Dee Ford was sick today.
Oh, okay.
So you didn't necessarily mention any injury.
Okay.
So neither confirmed or not confirmed, but he said that he was sick today and had to be taken off the field. So that's why.
You get 90 guys trapped together in a dorm room and a locker room for 3 straight weeks. Those things are going to happen.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You're going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a little thing now called Jed Lines, and then I'll have a couple of notes after this. But Jed Marshall, this is we're a month plus into this Jed Lines experiment.
Yeah, a month plus. Apparently where, Nick Jacobs' favorite segment of the show.
There you go. There you go. This is where Jed Marshall picks out stories and headlines from could be in the world of sports, could be entertainment, just could be news, and then I will react to it because I don't know what these stories are. So, Jed, take it away.
All right, Jed Line number one. Brad, did you see that Sam Darnold is making a case for starting quarterback up in New York with the Jets?
Who's going to be – are the Jets serious about anything this year? Why not? The Jets are an unserious organization, and that's sad because they were one of the pillars of the old AFL before the merger. You know, won Super Bowl III, Joe Namath, and then the Chiefs backed it up in Super Bowl IV. So it's sad to see the Jets continue to just – to be the Jets. And why not? If you're not going to be good anyway, get your rookie out there. Let him go.
Yeah, I think that
I have no problem with it.
No, the Jets, I don't know. They're a proud franchise, sure, but does it really pain you all that much to see like an old AFL franchise struggle? Anybody from New York, man, if you're a Jets fan, that's like being a Mets fan. It's the wrong team to be cheering for. The Giants and Yankees are the ones with tradition. So yeah, let the Jets throw the kid out there. I don't think he's gonna make much of a difference in year one, but who knows?
Yeah, I agree. The Jets are the Jets. Can't remember the last significant thing they've done other than draft Mark Sanchez and refer to him as the Sanchez. He got them to, what, two AFC championship games?
He did get them to two AFC championship games. Then, he's also fondly remembered for being the butt fumble guy.
Yes. Is he even in the league anymore?
Oh, God, I doubt it. If he is, that's embarrassing.
That's sad that I don't know that.
All right.
Okay, that was quick. Anyway.
Next Jedline. Brad, I know you're a golfer and you consider yourself a good golfer. We have the PGA Championship going on. In other golf news, did you see that Steph Curry shot an 86 and finishes last in the Web.com event?
Yes, I did see his first round was a 71, which put him ahead of some of the professionals. And then, you know, he goes to an 89 because that's what, I mean, not only regular golfers, but in particular non-professionals, that happens. But you know what? I saw something. People tweet out these things like, Steph Curry's taking a spot away from somebody who's deserving. How dare he do this? Well, you know what? It's a sponsor's exemption. They have every right to invite whoever they want. And by the way, if Steph Curry wasn't on the highlights on Golf Channel or NBC Sports Network, how many eyeballs would be on the web.com tour? You got bonus coverage because Steph Curry was there. You get more advertising. You get more eyeballs on your game. No problem with it at all. He finished last. Now he can go back to playing basketball. I think it's great.
I have no problem with it. I think it's cool when you see guys pursue other passions. The NBA is such a busy sport with the offseason that they rarely take. So for Steph Curry to get away, go and play some golf, try his craft, you know, apply his craft at another game and see how he does, I'm with you. The if it's an exception, man, get over it. It's Steph Curry. And again, I don't even like Steph Curry.
I don't know if you saw this, but at the PGA Championship, one of Steph's teammates is actually an on-course reporter. I think it's either for radio or satellite.
It was Andre Iguodala. Yeah, I did see that yesterday.
He's
sitting down
great.
With Ernie Johnson. I didn't have the sound on when I saw it, but I'm surprised to hear he's great, quite frankly.
Well, he's soft-spoken. He's got to, you know, step up the entertainment portion of it, but I think he's very good. These guys love golf, and I'm glad they're out there doing it.
Yeah, it's cool to see. It's a great game. You need to see as many people out there playing and trying to grow the game. And, yeah, with those guys being big-time athletes, hopefully it helps. All right, Brad, next Jedline. Did you see what happened after Baker Mayfield threw his first touchdown pass?
I did not because, believe it or not, I wasn't watching the Browns game.
You weren't watching preseason Browns versus New York Giants football? I found that hard to believe.
I'll catch it on the next episode of Hard Knocks.
Fair enough. Well, the Baker Mayfield threw a touchdown pass and then tossed the ball into the crowd. And the lucky New York Giants fan who caught the first ever touchdown pass from Baker Mayfield threw it back onto the field.
Oh, that's such a New York thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what? If you had – think about it. I don't know if – the NFL documents their mementos the way Major League Baseball does. Whenever there's a big moment or anything like that, they actually have somebody at the stadium who certifies that this ball or this bat or this helmet or this jersey is authentic. Everything is certified at the stadium. I don't think the NFL probably does that, but if you had Baker Mayfield's first touchdown football, wouldn't you be able to make some money on that? Or maybe you can trade it to Baker Mayfield for a game jersey or something? That's so petty, but that's so New York.
That's where I would sit, too. If I got the ball, I would probably try and hold Todd Lebo hostage and make him bid up, you know, a whole bunch of things that are like trade for Jazz or, you know, Joe's Kansas City or something around the station. But, yeah, if nothing else, at least try and sell the football on eBay or talk with Baker Mayfield about, you know, maybe making a trade and then parlay that into a more profitable situation. I think that's dumb by the guy, but whatever. I don't know. He lives in New York. I live in Kansas City, so we don't see eye to eye on a lot of stuff.
If that person put it on eBay, you'd get 500 other people also claiming they had the football.
Right.
So it would just be a mess. I would just tell Cleveland, hey, I got Baker's football. If he wants to trade me a jersey, I'd be good with it. But that's so New York. Congrats. Way to go, New York.
Absolutely. Next Jedline also involves Baker Mayfield. Someone in the entertainment area saying, quote, Cleveland's got another star. Brad, you know who that was?
Drew Carey?
It was not Drew Carey. It was Mark Wahlberg, the star, saying, quote, ooh, Cleveland's got another star. Mark has been Baker's biggest fan and actually made a bet on the Browns to win six games, saying, I told you so, after Baker Mayfield had a very first impressive preseason game, going 11 for 20, 212 yards, two touchdowns.
So if Marky Mark, if Marky Mark is saying good things about Baker Mayfield, what do you think is going to happen when Tom Brady is about it? He's going to be wicked pissed, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Tommy has plenty of other stuff going on. He can be pissed. But yeah, I don't know. Mark Wahlberg seems to know his football. He was in Invincible, the story about the Philadelphia Eagles guy. Oh, there you go. Well, Brad knew his name. But yeah, it seems like he'd be a reasonable guy to at least know talent when he sees it. So Baker Mayfield getting a vote of confidence.
All right. And if Mark Wahlberg wants to put his money on the Browns, go right ahead. He's got money to burn. I will choose to do not to, to not do that.
Well, he only bet on him to win six games. Next deadline, Lamar Woodley, Steelers star, says that, hey, watch out because the Browns are a dangerous football team. Lamar Woodley saying that Cleveland finally has a legitimate shot to win since going back after their return in 1999.
Well, maybe Lamar Woodley bought into the Hard Knocks hype, because whenever you watch Hard Knocks, you think, ah, these guys are good. You watch the slow motion video and the receivers catching one-handed catches and, oh, these guys look so good. And then when it comes down to actual games, it doesn't look the same. Just look at when the Chiefs run Hard Knocks. Oh, these guys are going to be great. No, I'm not buying it. Lamar Woodley might be trying to, maybe he's subtweeting through the media. I don't know.
What I coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Yeah, John Dorsey.
I don't know with that guy in charge why you wouldn't be impressed.
How about Dez Bryant? John Dorsey said, we can't get a hold of Dez Bryant. He won't answer his phone. And Dez Bryant tweeted out, I'll be in Cleveland next week. See you then.
Dez Bryant. I don't know why you'd want to bring that circus in.
Nope.
But whatever.
Not at all.
All right.
Nope.
Next deadline, Brad. Did you see what happened to ex-MLB star Esteban Loaiza?
Yeah, he's going to prison for like 10 years, right? For having a cocaine distribution ring?
Yes, he pleads guilty to cocaine charges and could face up to life in prison. It's between 10 years and life in prison. Ex-MLB All-Star pitcher Esteban Loaiza has formally pled guilty to felony cocaine possession with intent to distribute and now faces up to life in prison. The 46-year-old was arrested in San Diego in February after officials said he was trying to move more than $500,000 in cocaine from a house located near a school. Officials say Loaiza was using, quote, sophisticated smuggling devices to hide 22 kilos of coke. What do you make of that, Brad?
Well, I don't know how the coke biz works.
That's a lot of cocaine, I can tell you that.
I'm saying that's a lot of weight. Is that what they say in the... from watching the Wire and shows like that, I try to pick up the lingo. But that seems to be a lot of weight.
Yeah, a lot of weight, a lot of product, a lot of yay.
Look, Esteban Loaiza made, I think in that story they said he made $43 million in his career.
But he did.
Out the taxes, it's probably $20 million. Did you not invest wisely and made the only option you have was, well, I need some cash. I could go be an analyst on television. He's from Mexico, so he speaks English and Spanish. He could go work for an English network, a Spanish-speaking network. He could be a coach. You know what? I'm going to become a cocaine dealer in Southern California. That's what I'm going to do with my career. How many cocaine dealers, let's say, when did he retire? He was probably, what, mid-30s, late-30s?
Probably.
How many coke dealers start out in their mid-30s and get to the end of their life in their 80s and 90s without going to prison?
I'm happy to say I don't know any cocaine dealers, so I don't know.
You are going to get caught, especially if you're moving that kind of weight. You are going to get caught.
Maybe he was upset about people taking half of his $43 million. You don't have to pay taxes on that drug money.
Well, I guess. Good for Esteban Loaiza. We'll see you after your... after you do your dime.
I think he'll have a nice time in prison. Most people normally do. Next deadline, Brad. Did you happen to see what Jan Ullrich has been up to?
Jan Ullrich? Who's Jan Ullrich?
Jan Ullrich is a former Tour de France winner who was arrested for attacking a prostitute in Germany. Former Tour de France winner Jan Ullrich has been arrested in Germany after officials say the cyclist beat up a hooker in Frankfurt. Yes, you read and heard that correctly. The 44-year-old, who won the Tour back in 1997, allegedly had a physical dispute with a female worker at a hotel, and the incident turned physical. Officials say the woman suffered injuries in the attack, and Ullrich could be charged with assault or attempted murders. Cops also suspect he was under the influence of drugs and alcohol. A police spokesperson told the media, quote, "It seems Mr. Ulrich and an escort woman had a dispute and that he attacked her. She alerted the hotel staff and they called the police. Mr. Ulrich is still in custody," end quote.
Boy, this segment got dark in a hurry.
I don't think it got dark. You just don't be a professional athlete.
Tour de France, guys. Okay, I respect the Tour de France game.
Do you? With all the steroids and all that stuff going on, beating up prostitutes? I don't know about that, Brad. You respect that? Is that what you're saying?
Lance Armstrong, you want to come down on him? I'd say.
Yes, I do want to come down on Lance Armstrong. He cheated.
To me, if a guy survives cancer and almost dies, you get a free pass the rest of your life. So that's my position on it. Only he shouldn't have lied and cheated about everything else that he did, throwing everybody else under the bus.
Sounds like you're waffling there, Brad. All right, we'll move forward. Next headline, two left to go, Brad. Officers seize three king cobras, 300 other reptiles from home. What do you make of this?
Where did this happen? Is this Florida?
No, Allegheny, New York. State wildlife officers have seized three king cobras among more than 300 reptiles kept in a New York home. The Department of Environmental Conservation says officials obtained a warrant Thursday morning to search a home in the town of Allegheny on the Pennsylvania border, 60 miles southeast of Buffalo. Officers say inside they found three king cobras, six venomous Gila monsters, and seven species of turtles kept in enclosures throughout the home located near St. Bonaventure's University. DEC officials say several zoos and wildlife conservation groups have offered to care for the reptiles. It's illegal in New York State to own venomous snakes, and officials say the man living in the house faces several charges.
Well, not only is it illegal, it's patently stupid.
No, you're fine.
Here's where I start. Where if you have an animal, a reptile, a pet, whatever you want to call it, do you want that animal to be able to kill you? Is that the best option to have? Or multiple animals that could potentially kill you?
He had three snakes and seven poisonous Gila monsters. I'm sure he knows how to take care of them. Maybe he was using them for protection, Brad.
Wonder when we adopted our dogs that we've had in our life, number one on the list, number one question on the list, can this animal kill me? I don't think my dog is out to get me, but that would be the first thing. If any animal that can kill you easily, especially poison, I don't know if Gila monsters like spit it at you or they have to bite you. And I know snakes got to bite you, but sometimes they can spit it out. That's bad idea genes right there. No good.
I don't know. If he has 300 of them, presumably the guy knows what he's doing. I don't think it's a good idea either, but I wouldn't be worried if I had 300 like cats living in my apartment. You'd be like, oh, you're insane. I'd be like, well, I know how to take care of them.
Accidentally leave the cage open one time and let a king cobra loose in the neighborhood and see what happens.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I don't live in Allegheny, New York. All right, Brad, last one.
Yep.
Driver's test arrest, pot, gun, cash found in smelly car. This happened in Glen Burnie, Maryland. A 22-year-old man who went for his driver's test left in handcuffs after the examiner became suspicious about a certain odor emanating from the car. News outlets report the examiner alerted a trooper at the Motor Vehicle Administration office who searched the car. A Maryland State Police report says the search found nearly a pound of marijuana, a scale, more than $15,000 in cash, and a handgun loaded with a 30-round magazine. Reginald D. Wooding Jr. of Baltimore did not get his driver's license on Monday.
I would think not. This is like the people that leave drugs or handguns in their duffel bags and try to carry them onto an airplane. I mean, don't you kind of check around? Maybe he didn't think the driving instructor was going to have his vehicle searched, but I guess a good idea he did, because when you have, if you have drugs, that's one thing. If you have a gun, that's another thing. If you have drugs and a gun together, that's going to put some time.
The $15,000 in cash and a scale, which is also used to help break up those drugs. You don't find any of that troubling either?
It is all troubling. You're going away for a significant period of time. I'm glad we all have all these stories about people going to jail.
I just think it's funny that the guy thought it would be a good idea to take all of that stuff with him to a place where he knows police officers will be.
I'm going to stop by the stash house later after I take my driver's test.
Yeah, I'd hate to be pulled over with an expired driver's license. Let me load up my car with a pound of weed and a bunch of guns and $15,000 in cash and go and get my new driver's license.
Not a good idea,
baby. No, it is not. Brad, those are Jedlines.
Okay, I'll throw one more at you. I read this on CNN.com this morning. So, you know, Mount Everest, where you pay, what, $100,000 to go climb the highest peak in the world? I've seen those shows where they document people getting up there, and I think it costs $100,000 total. You have to, I think it's $50,000 for the license. You have to be licensed to do it, and then another $50,000 for gear and equipment. I'm sure these people spend $200,000 to $300,000 trying to do it. But the story is that at base camp, people who work there have to remove what's left behind by the humans, and that includes 20,000 pounds of fecal matter. And they try to get it to, they put it in this area, it doesn't degrade, and now they're worried it might leak into a nearby lake. 20,000 pounds seems like a lot of crap.
And I get grief for my headlines, Brad. You're disgusting. Yeah, you sicken me.
I thought it was funny. Hey, there was also a lady out here at Chiefs training camp today that had a t-shirt on that said, Fun Brunette. I thought that was cool. And the best throwback I saw today was not Chiefs related. It was a Vince Carter Toronto Raptors, VC, in the house at Chiefs training camp. How about that? All right, we'll take a quick timeout, and then when we come back, we will wrap things up here for this edition of Sports Saturday. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. Our coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is here. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios, and you're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to our final segment here for this Sports Saturday show, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri, on the campus of Missouri Western. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here in St. Joe as well. Jed Marshall is back in the Rally House studios. And right now, the only thing going on is a big tractor with a big roller on the back going across the practice fields to flatten out all the cleat marks and the divots. So everything is clean and ready to go for tomorrow. Coming up on Sports Sunday, we have a good show for you from 9 to noon. Again, we'll be live here at Chiefs training camp. We're going to have reaction from the Chiefs from today. We'll hear from Andy Reid, Reggie Ragland, and Mitch Morse. So we'll have that tomorrow. And the list of guests, Jed Marshall, I just flipped my sheet of paper the wrong way. Who are the guests for tomorrow?
We have Howard Richman at 9:25 talking about the PGA Championship. At 10, we will have we will have Eamon Brennan of The Athletic to talk about the new rule changes going on in college basketball. And at 11, we will have Andy Edwards of NBC Sports talking about everything going on sporting Kansas City, and maybe we might even get to a touch of EPL soccer. Sure. And Brad, another late addition to the show is our good friend Jason Justice.
Oh, good. Jason Justice, how are you on this Saturday morning?
I'm great. I'm hanging out. You guys are way up north. I'm kind of on the south side of Kansas City, 110th and Holmes at the Minute Mart out here. They've got a bunch of great stuff. If it's a Saturday and you have children, you're looking for something to do. I know because I have children. They've got a bunch of cool inflatable stuff here. They've got a bounce house. They've got this cool, like, American Gladiator type thing where you stand in there and try to knock each other off these posts, you know, with these big inflatable clubs, and then they've got a thing, you know, those like mechanical bull things. This is a surfboard that you have to try to stand on while it moves around. Big inflatable deal. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Good time. It's a real good thing. And Mike McFarland's going to be here for another half an hour or so. Of course, Minute Mart is a big partner with Royals, and people are he's signing autographs, people taking pictures. He's got some cool Royals stuff from Miller Lite and Boulevard, and he's got some T-shirts and. We're just having a good time, and I want to make sure everybody comes out.
Well, I know you had the trivia question, which team did Mac play for between his two stints with the Royals? I know he played for two other teams, but maybe it was like Royals, then this one team, then Royals, and then another team. Is that how it stacked up?
That's right. He played for the Royals, and he went somewhere for 1 year, came back to the Royals, and then finished up with the A's. Of course, he's from Stockton, California, is where he grew up.
Okay.
But there was one team, it was an East Coast team, and this, you know.
I know. I know who it is.
I think this would be easy.
I know which team it is, but I don't want to give it away.
I appreciate that. So, yeah, I've got some royal tickets for somebody who comes out here to a Minimart 110th and Holmes and tells me the team that Mike McFarland played for in between being a Royal and being a Royal.
All right, fantastic, Drake. Have fun out there, and I'm gonna have to find that surfboard thing and figure that out.
All right, enjoy St. Joe.
All right, thank you very much. I certainly will. That is the Drake out there with Mike McFarland out in the I keep wanting to say Martinsville, and I'm
Martin City. It's a little bit north of there, since they're at a roughly 110th, maybe
right.
Ridge there on the Missouri side. But yeah, great event that Jason's doing out there. Go and see Rudy's Salad Bar also.
Yeah. About that.
I have to say this, and I wish I would have asked the Drake this, but this American Gladiator thing sounds very intriguing. I'm wondering if Rudy and the Drake are going to go against each other, or maybe the Drake and Mike McFarland going against each other. Like I said, I wish I would have asked him, because that sounds like a great opportunity to see something.
Rudy and McFarland against the Drake. How about that?
There we go. Yeah, I like that.
I'll take McFarland on my team any day. We got just a couple of minutes in our show, and I want to update you on the PGA Championship, which you can hear live from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Several players had to finish their second rounds this morning, very early this morning, because they had inclement weather yesterday over in St. Louis. So they're back underway. I think most of those players have finished the second round, and they're getting ready to start the third round. But Gary Woodland still top of the leaderboard, the Kansas Jayhawk, and Kevin Kistner is one shot back. Ricky Fowler and Brooks Koepka each two shots back. And right now, Tiger Woods is tied for 19th at 4-under. He is six shots back. Again, you can hear the PGA Championship here on Sports Radio 810 WHB from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. Coming up at noon, we'll have the best of Chiefs training camp from the previous week, everybody that's been up here all week. So that'll be at noon, then your PGA Championship 1. And then tonight at 9:30, Sporting KC against LAFC West Coast. That's why it's the 9:30 p.m. start. You can hear it here. And then the final whistle with Dave Borchardt after that. And we'll be back with a full show on Sports Sunday tomorrow morning. Want to thank all of our wonderful guests today. Dave Borchardt, talking a little Sporting KC. Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. Good stuff on college football on and off the field. Also, thanks to Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. Talking Chief Training Camp. He's been up here quite a bit. Also, the new podcast, 4th and 1. And we also thank Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com, talking about Bill Snyder's new contract and the season ahead for K-State. Want to thank Jed Marshall for setting up another great show today. He's back at the Rally House Studios. Thank you to Charlie Carlin, who's out here in St. Joe. We'll have some good Chief stuff for you tomorrow. My name is Brad Porter. Our Chiefs Training Camp coverage has been brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. We'll see you next time. Enjoy the rest of the day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.